I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. An astonishing book is The Flight of the Patriot, Escape from Revolutionary Iran. Its author, Yadi Sharifrod, joins me now. He was born and raised in northern Iran and always wanted to fly like the eagles that he saw. He became a fighter pilot, and he was a hero during Iran's war with Iraq. He flew dangerous missions and was shot down over enemy territory, as Saddam Hussein had a bounty out for him, yet he survived thanks to some sympathetic Kurdish rebels. They made a movie about his life, and he was a celebrity in Iran. He became a military attaché to Pakistan. However, during the due to the Islamic Revolution led by Ayatollah Khomeini, he was subjected to some unpleasant treatment, culminating in his arrest in late 1987. He was accused of spying and was arrested, interrogated, and tortured. He was held captive for more than a year, then released. He then decides to flee to Canada, and that journey from there to here is worthy of a film itself. The book reads like a novel in some parts, and it's a useful and much needed view onto the Iran of then and now. It's a remarkable, moving story, and it's published by Thomas Allen. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Yadi Sharifrod. Good morning, Mr. Sharifrod.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Even as a child, you considered yourself lucky, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Even when you were in the depths of misery and in pain and being tortured and the sort, did you think you were lucky?
Well, of course. I think, yes, I was lucky. Otherwise, comparing with the things happened to some of my friends, and even they got killed for no reason. And you know, when they accuse somebody, especially in the military, being a spy, I mean, the penalty is death. So I think I was lucky.
Yeah. Why do you think you were spared?
Luck in one way, and also I think when they released me after, they were not sure I'm not a spy. They couldn't find anything even under the torture. And then I was followed, if you have read the book, constantly. I was in one way free, but my prison was a little bit larger. I mean, I was followed anywhere I went, and I have to report any place I needed to go. They were trying in some way to find a connection or something to arrest me, and for the advertisement and the intelligence or whatever they had in their mind. But overall, I think luck was with me. I mean, just like my crash in Iraq, when I crashed, I was the only one that had been crashed in Iraq, but saved by some friendly Kurdish rebels. And I think in the whole world, in the war, only one in a million can such a things happen. And also my escape from Iran. Again, the part that I'm trying to escape through the mountain in the worst time of the war, I mean, the winter, and under gunfire of Turkish border guards. I think all of these things I considered as being one of the luckiest man in the world, because if I was not lucky, I could be dead by now.
And you knew you had to tell the story, right?
Well, the time I decided, of course, I mean, beside flying, writing was my passion. But the day when they took me for execution, of course, it was a kind of torture, I think, just showing me that they are not joking. They killed two other prisoners, and they shot me. They are serious. And that was the time in my heart. And I said to myself, if I am lucky again to be free, I'm going to write my story, and I'm going to explain it not only to Iranian, to the whole world, and show them what's going on in Iran under the Ayatollahs, and they do whatever they do by name of God and Allah, whatever they say, but they are killing their own people for no reason. And also, of course, it was scary too, because I mentioned in the book, some part of the book, that one night when they can kill 800 young people, only they had some of them, even they just they distributed some kind of flyer, of course, against the government. They can kill those people, and killing me was very easy. It's not, I mean, major things, the crime that they have been doing every day. So I think, again, I consider myself lucky in that part. I don't know, maybe God has another plan for me.
Hey, during all of this time that you were held captive, you were being tortured, what sustained you?
Well, physically, I can say it's all gone. Just few scars, but emotionally, it's there. I can't forget it. I mean, even still, I have nightmare, and when I think about it, some part is very emotional, and I think I didn't deserve to be tortured like that, just like a soldier left behind. And I fought for my country, for my people, and I loved Iran, and I sacrificed everything. But as a result, they gave me pain and torture. The memory doesn't go away. I mean, it's always is with me, and sometimes it makes me very sad, but I'm not a kind of person to give up. I try to just go on, and you know, I have family, and I'm not for myself. I have to survive and live, and that's why I think anybody reads my book, if they think about their problem, if they think that is the end of the life, it will encourage them. No, enjoy your life. You have a lot of things over here. You don't know about it. Think how lucky you are. You are free. You can think whatever you think. You can say whatever you want to say. But in some part of the world, just like Iran, even you can't think what you think. You can't say what you want to say. And that's even at your home, you are not free. You are not even relaxed and comfortable, if you want to say to your close friends, because you don't know who they are. But over here, we have everything. I think everybody, I believe, if they read this book, they will enjoy their life more. And as I mentioned, one of my interviews before, one of a young lady came to me and she told me, "The way, Yadi, you describe your wife, I am proud to be a woman, I am proud to be a wife, and I am proud to be a mother." And that's a big message. You know, even another lady came to me, mostly my audience are ladies, and then told me, you know, even kids these days, new generation, when they read your book, they realize parents are not only mom and dad. You showed the real value of parents. You showed that these two people in the world are the only people unconditionally love their children, and they do whatever they can. They can sacrifice everything to save their children. And you brought the family together. You were shattered. You were separated. But you challenged. Of course, the story is sad. But you didn't give up until you got them together again in Vancouver. Welcome, and we love you. And I said, no, that's don't. I love you more than you think about that, because you gave me shelter. I was stateless, and you gave me country. You gave me house. You gave me a lot of opportunity. And probably I can say I couldn't serve the way that I have my experience, but this is the story I'm telling you because I am you now. I am Canadian. This is kind of my appreciation to you to show how grateful I am. I have no more secret. So, and I'm proud to be Canadian. So this is the things when I hear from the audience, you know, it makes me feel great. Even Canada needs my life. Undoubtedly, I'll give it to them.
Yeah. Do you feel more Canadian, say, than Iranian?
Well, of course, you know, I love Iran.
Yeah.
I raise over there. All of my past, my memory, my you know, you can't forget your childhood memory, you know?
Yeah.
Still, even when sometimes I dream about Iran. But at the same time, I love Canada. Because Canada didn't owe me, didn't invite me. And I came over here, and they opened arm, they accepted me. So, of course, I love Canada, but in my heart, again, you know, my heart belongs to Iran, and my father's mothers are buried over there. I think about them, and a lot of things in my mind. It's not easy to clear that way. So, okay, now they didn't. I don't like the government, but I can't say I don't like Iran. Iran is a country that I owe Iran, and as much as I owe Canada now. So, yes, at the moment, as long as that Islamic government are ruling that country, that beautiful country, I don't want to be there. And but if I could go and visit Iran, I prefer to come back over here and live here because my children love this country, and then even they don't want to go back, even if they were free to go.
The Iran of today, is it much the same than it was in the 80s, or is it much worse?
Well, the government, of course, is weaker. There is a crack between the government, even between the clergies. They are not as strong as they were. They are engaged in many other things, and the world realized that they are careless about human rights. Especially Iranian women are under the pressure. They are not free at all. Their position are worse than men's. But in other way, It's hard to say they are over, they are finished. No, I don't think so. And it's going to cost Iranian a lot of lives to get their freedom back. But the good thing is new generation, I think they realized and they determined to get their freedom back. But it's not going to get them easy, as I said. It will cost a lot of human lives, and I expect maybe in the future, and the world supports Iranian. If next time, if they hear they are screaming for freedom, as we do have freedom over here, if they get the attention of the world, it can help Iranian to get their freedom back. And this government is not going to stay forever, and I know they realize that, but as I said, they know if they give up, they have no place to live, and they will be in danger, and they don't give up easily, and they can kill more even. As recently you I don't know you heard from the news or not, they killed four young people, one woman, I think, and the rest men, maximum 24, 25 years old. You know, that's they have. This is the things that we hear. Of course, there are more of this kind of news, and even they don't let them get out of the country because even they're trying to ban. emails and computers, lines and everything. I hope, as I said, the world realize that and support Iranian to get their freedom back.
Yeti, I want to go back to when you were being tortured and held captive. Mm-hmm. You talked earlier about the pain that you suffered, and the scars some of them are still there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with the anger or malice that you had towards the people that did that to you?
Well, I think for the people that directly tortured me, when I refer to my heart, I think I forgave them. I thought that was their job. They did their job. But I don't know, I can call it hate. Because I'm not the kind of person to hate anybody. But you know, I don't like this government. Because they use name of God and Allah or Prophet, whatever, and they misled people. They lied to people. Even when I say I forgave those people that they have tortured me, not because Muslim or for them, because of myself. Because when you keep the animosity in your heart, it hurts you more and more. And I tried, and I before it was difficult, but now I feel better. I don't think about them. I don't think about them sometimes at all, but I think about the government, how they could push or teach these people to torture another human being from their own nation. That is the thing. It bothers me sometimes. But, I think I forgave them.
Now, you mentioned earlier about people that read the book, that even though it's sad and that it's sometimes harrowing, it is hopeful, and it's a happy book at the end. Do you think people in this country have a low recognition or an appreciation of democracy?
Well, somehow maybe those people that they followed the other side of the world, they know how lucky we are over here. But there are many people, they don't have time to think about other world. They think about their surrounding. And I think by reading this book, I opened a lot of people's eyes, and they will think about other part of the world. Then they think, when they see Yadi's story, when they read my story, they think, okay, it's not only Yadi. There are many, many other Yadis that they have a story, but they were not lucky to write it down. And that's true, as a matter of fact. I know many people that the situation that they have been through were worse than mine, but they couldn't write it down. Or either they got killed or they committed suicide. But, you know, a human being has a limit. Even being under torture in a book, sometimes only one point, I decided to commit suicide because I thought I can't take it anymore. Finally, they are going to kill me. And then why should I wait to get more torturing and then let them kill me? But that is the point that people can get the message. But I didn't give up, and I said, well, I'm not belong to myself. I have children, especially I had a little daughter, and I felt, okay, I have a duty. I have to stay alive. If I have to be killed, let them kill me, not myself. This is very strong point. And then people think, yes, we are not belong to ourselves. And that is selfish if we think only about ourselves. We have a lot of people around us. They love us. And if you think, okay, you will be okay after you're dead, you're okay, is everything finished? But we have to think about other people, that they are alive, they love us. And I think it's very strong point in here. And also, when I mention in one part, I'm just waiting for being tortured, and I explained about employment that is in the room, that is very strong, but I couldn't mention and tell in details what happened to me in that point. And I think rarely any human being can resist in that situation. And even before they put you on the torture, probably, sometimes when I think about it, my heart wants to come out from my chest after many, many years. I think people will get the message, and even another gentleman that read my book came to me and said, you know, when they gave you, when they took you to the prison in the first day and they gave you big sleepers and you asked them for your size, and then they said, well, you need bigger size. I couldn't understand why until they put you on the torture, and after that your feet didn't fit that sleepers. And then it was scary. It brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, everybody get their own message. You know, it's an encouraging book. As I said, it's sad. It starts sad, but it has beautiful ending. And it gives people, reader, power to not give up if something happened, even the worst situation. One day, I was thinking, if I get free, I love to live in a tent or in a sleeping bag. When sometimes I get sad these days, you know, too much work in my age, the work that I'm doing is not the kind of work that I learned to do, and I have a lot of capability and a lot of experience. But when I think about it, it doesn't bother me. I said, well, still I'm one of the luckiest person in the world. And I think this message can be feel for people who read my book, The Flight of the Patriot.
One of the people that you talk about in the book, and at the end of the book you call her your hero, is your wife.
Mm-hmm.
How is your wife today?
Well, she's still the same woman, and supportive. And of course sometimes I can, if she doesn't say anything, I mean, she doesn't complain, but sometimes I can see some passion, sadness in her eyes, and you know, she thought we could have a more comfortable life if nothing happened, and probably we were retired, we didn't have to work that hard in our age. But overall, she's happy. I think even she didn't, once even she didn't mention that she wants to go back. She missed relatives, friends, but she never even wished to go back to Iran. And we are just friends, not only wife and husband. And of course, another secret I tell you, when you listen to your wife all the time, nothing, they never complain.
Are you pleased about how the book has been received?
Well, yes. I mean, especially the place that I am working, because people know me. And in 2 weeks, we have sold over 300 copies. And it must be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but the bookstore, because when people, if they don't know the book, is you know, they have a lot of choice, and they have to know the name of the book, and they know what are they looking for. It wasn't great. It wasn't very, I mean, less than I have expected. They could do it better, and. Because nobody knows about the book. Even sometimes my name is kind of difficult, last name for they pronounce. But so far, honestly, anybody who read my book and came to me and they appreciated and they loved the story, and they said, the problem with your book is when you start reading it, you don't want to put them down. One lady said, do you know what? I couldn't cook, I couldn't clean my house, and I haven't done anything. And one lady came to me, one old lady with very deep British accent, and said, Yadi, you haven't tell us who you were. And then no doubt, I wanted to always come to you to ask you to help me. And you did it with your heart, with your smile, and I am honored to know you. So this kind of word, you know, this is the price I got. And of course, not these things cannot be by money. So that was great appreciation from the people. And as I said, even young generation, few bought my book. Probably they don't like to reading that much as my generation, but mostly people that they have read my book were about 40 years. Few, as I said, maybe 10, 12, as long as I remember, younger generation bought my book and they liked it.
Well, let's hope that a lot of people buy this book after today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today, Yadi, and continued good luck with the book.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I appreciate that, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. The book is called The Flight of the Patriot, Escape from Revolutionary Iran. Yadi Sharifrad is its author. On the line in Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.